Times we want to talk tonight about miracles, and I want to pay some special attention to tongue speaking. But you could really plug in any miracle that's in your mind right here. You know, there are lots and lots that people claim happen. Healing the sick, you know, that's a big one. Or crying blood, or whatever, you know, whatever the popular miracle might be, right? They're all fallen under our umbrella study this evening. So I'd like to get things started tonight with a bit of back and forth discussion. So help me out with this. Somebody give me an example of what a miracle is. What is a miracle? Something that falls out of the bounds of nature. I like that, right? That hits a couple of key points, doesn't it? You had one, yes, sir. Unnatural, okay. Give me, if you don't want to give me a definition of a miracle, that's totally fine. Give me an example of what a miracle is. I saw a couple of hands. Chuck, any way you want to go with that question, sir. Some supernatural action or effort, all right? Something that cannot be explained by science or nature. I feel like our definition of a miracle is getting a wee bit watered down. No offense, Sam. I appreciate that contribution. It's very valuable to our study. And a miracle definitely is something that can't be explained inside of science or observation or things like that. So, you know, I'm giving out 100s to everybody who contribute. Even if you don't contribute, you get 100. So, you know. No harsh judge here. I'm looking for, go any way you want to go with it, a definition of a miracle that works. We've gotten a few of those. An example of a miracle. Anthony, I saw a hand up. Miss Ruth, you have the floor. Turning water into wine. A wonderful example of a miracle. Anthony, did I see your hand earlier? Okay, all right. Clint? Okay. Clint is knocking it out of the park tonight. He's giving the Devo, so he's all systems are go tonight. Clint's gonna give me, he's gonna make me stay on my toes this evening. No, definition or example. We're just talking here. We're just talking. To confirm, right? I like that very much. Mm-hmm. I like that idea of confirmation very much. Yes, sir, Chuck. Raising the dead, taking people who are sick, like verifiably sick, observably sick, making the lame walk was Chuck's example. All right, that's good. We're not done, but let's move on. Give me a definition or an example of something that's really, really awesome. Something that's just super cool. Patrick. God answering prayer. Wow, that's a good one. Deep right out of the gate. Give me an example of something that's really, really cool. No, God answering prayer is really, really cool. I beg your pardon? So, having a baby, really, really, really cool, right? For y'all, I'm done with that. But having a baby, really, really cool, right? Okay, right. An example of something that's really, really, really awesome, really cool. I think having a baby is pretty cool, you know, for what it's worth. A little gross, but pretty cool. And you come home with a baby, you know. I loved it the two times I went through it. The sunset, pretty cool, right? Really, 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 really awesome. Right? Y'all think so too? Okay. Cool. Give me an example of something that's unexplained, something that you cannot explain. Patrick? Infinity? Deep again. Patrick's deep. All right? I'm not going to repeat that. We have one microphone, and I have it. I'll repeat the things that won't get any of us men killed. So I won't repeat for the recording that Clint Ritchie said women are unexplained. I'll not repeat that. Somebody who's sick. Oh, how about this? Somebody who's in a really wham, bam, kapow accident, and the police look at that twisted up, mangled up car and says, I don't know how in the world you survived that. Is that an example of something that's unexplained? Yeah, it's an example of something that's unexplained. How somebody who was sick is now no longer sick, is that something that's unexplained? Well, yeah, right? Fits all the textbook definition of something that you can't explain. I don't know how that happened. It just did, right? The reason why I wanted to go over some of these key terms is because I feel like this is where, it's at. You know, I feel like when we talk about miracles today, I don't believe that miracles happen today. And there are a whole bunch of reasons why I don't believe that miracles happen today. And it has to do with what a real miracle is. And when we talk about miracles, a lot of people get a little, they get a little off in their definition of a miracle, right? That's why I wanted to lead right out of the box with, y'all tell me what a miracle is. And a miracle is everything that we said it was. I particularly like the examples of a miracle. Raising the dead, creating the world, that's a miracle. Parting the Red Sea, that's a miracle. Taking somebody who is verifiably blind or deaf or lame in some capacity and making that person whole, that's a miracle. Speaking in a language that you don't know, get to that later on, that's a miracle, right? So these are examples of miracles. Turning water into wine was, I think, the first example that was shared tonight. These are examples of miracles. The sunrise, is that an example of a miracle? No, that follows natural law. Remember the very first thing we said a miracle was something that supersedes or defies or is outside the realm of, pick your own term, outside the realm of that, right, Sam? It is outside the realm of that. Well, how can something that happens every day be outside of the realm of nature? Right? God made it that way, right? God made the sun to rise every day, right? God made the sun to set every day, right? God made men and women to be able to make babies, right? Yeah. These things are really, really cool. The sun rising, the sun setting, making a baby. That's really awesome. But that's not a miracle. When I tell people I don't believe that miracles happen today, they say, well, they think that I am unimpressed by these things that are truly awesome. I'm not unimpressed by the sun rising. I can't make the sun rise. I'm not unimpressed by the sun setting. I can't do that. I acknowledge God's hand in that. I acknowledge that's something that is really incredible, but that's not what a miracle is. That's not all that a miracle is. A miracle is really incredible, but things that are really incredible are not necessarily miracles. Because as we've said, miracles operate outside of the natural realm. And something doing what God set it up to do is not operating outside of the natural realm. It's very much operating inside of the natural realm. So far, so good on this? When I tell people I don't believe that miracles happen today, they think that I have an answer for everything that happens. Well, if you don't think that a miracle happens today, you explain to me how my uncle, twice removed, was sick and the doctor said he was going to die and he didn't die. Explain that to me. Well, time out. Just because I'm saying that a miracle is this, a miracle is something that is outside of the natural realm, a miracle is something, a few folks said it tonight, that was intended by the Lord to confirm the message that he sent to earth. And that's what a miracle is, and that's not happening anymore. Just because I'm saying that does not mean that I have an answer for everything that happens, right? Why would somebody think that just because I'm saying this isn't happening anymore, that I have an answer for A through Z, right? There are totally some things that I can't explain. How somebody can be in a terrible wreck, fall off a building, fall up the stairs. You pick the scenario. How somebody can have that happen to him or her, not die, not be injured even. I don't have an explanation for that. Nor do I think I have to have an explanation for that to be able to say that miracles don't happen, right? So these terms, what is a miracle? What is something that's really, really awesome, really, really amazing? What is something that's unexplained? These things are not the same, right? These things are not the same. A miracle and something that's amazing and something that there's no explanation for, these are not the same thing. These are all different. And I'm saying on this list here that you see on the screen, miracle, something that's awesome, something that's unexplained, one of them ain't happening anymore, and that is the miracle. What thoughts, comments, questions, we've got lots more to go, but what thoughts, comments, questions do you have at this point? Yes, sir, Patrick. Well, supernatural, that's all it means. That's exactly all it means. Providence. Are you, when I throw out the word providence, you're familiar with what I'm talking about? God's special way of providing for his people. Matthew 6:33 is providence by another name, right? What's Matthew 6:33? Sam, you're our resident Bible quoter. If we seek first the kingdom of heaven, there you go. So God says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these things are talking about what? Food, clothing, shelter, these necessities of life. They'll be added to you. God is setting up a rule there. And he's saying, you put God first and he'll take care of you. How God takes care of us, that's providence. It involves God. So by definition, right, it is divine. It operates congruently. It operates outside of, beyond natural law. So providence is supernatural, right? But not miraculous. Why not miraculous? Well, because that's the way God made it, right? Remember, we said that a miracle is something that defies a rule. A miracle is something that defies law. There's a man who's dead, and you can make him not be dead anymore. That is undoing natural law, right? Providence is very much in the system that God has made. Providence doesn't buck the system. Providence is the system that God has made. So when we speak of providence, we are talking about something that is divine. We are talking about something that is supernatural, if you want to apply that term to it. But we're talking about something that very much fits within the system that God has set up. Just like the forgiveness of sins, right? The forgiveness of sins comes as a result of what? Comes as a result of a law that God has set up. What is God's law? Well, God's law is, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, you'll have the forgiveness of your sins, right? So the forgiveness of sins, much like providence, operates in a system that God has set up. It's divine in its origin. It is not natural to this world's order, right? It is spiritual in its nature. But it conforms, and the fact that it conforms to a law that God has set up means it's missing that key element of what a miracle is. I saw a hand here and then a hand here. Yes, sir, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Loosely. Absolutely. Most people, right? Most people of religious stripes use the term miracle very, very, very loosely. Just like they use the term Christian very, 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 very loosely, right? So I think it's helpful for us to say, hey, what is a miracle? What is a miracle? And if you say that the sun coming up is a miracle, well, let's take that and let's compare it to the miracles that we can read about in the Bible. And it doesn't stack up, right? Wesley, yes, sir. Thank you for waiting. Yeah? Right. Absolutely. And the way that God works today, God is very active today. You know, one of the reasons why I think a lot of our people are reluctant to have a conversation about miracles is because we feel like the accusation is going to be made that we don't believe in God's power, or we're trying to put God in a box, or we're trying to limit God. No, we're not either. God is super active, right? Did you pray today? No, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands right now, but it's coming. Did you pray today? Did you pray today? God was active in that. I mean, at the edge of a seat active in that, if you prayed today. Did you read the scriptures today? Again, no show of hands yet. Did you read the scriptures today? If so, buddy, God was active in that. Very active. Because there is power in his word. Right? So we can both acknowledge the activity of God, the providential activity of God, God's care and concern for us. We can acknowledge that. We can have all that. And at the same time say, yeah, but that doesn't mean that miracles happen today. Because a miracle is this, right? If we properly define these terms here, well, it really helps the study, really helps the discussion. Here's a verse of Scripture, John chapter 20, verse 31. Somebody Want to read this for us? These are talking about the signs, miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus are written for what purpose? The miracles that Jesus did are written so that we will believe in him. That tells us something about the purpose of a miracle, doesn't it? That tells us something very important about why miracles happen. And this is an important component to the study, because if we can identify why miracles happened, that will give us some direction about their continuation or their cessation, right? Here's another verse. Let's read it, and then Patrick will come to your comment. Nicodemus, you remember him. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, John 3:2. And Nicodemus says what? We know that you are the Son of God. That's the whole point. Miracles were written down so that we would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, we know that you are God's Son. Why? Because no one can do these signs, miracles, that you do unless God be with him. So the whole purpose of a miracle was to let the world know that Jesus is God's Son. Do we agree on that? The whole purpose of the miracle was to let the world know that Jesus was God's Son. This is an important point, right? The purpose of a miracle wasn't to fill every belly, right? Right. There were far more people not fed by Jesus' miracles than who were fed by Jesus' miracles. So the purpose of the miracle wasn't to fill the belly. The purpose of the miracle was not The purpose of the miracle was not to heal the sick, right? I want to hear right or wrong. Let me know. Right? There were far more people not healed by Jesus than who were healed by Jesus. Jesus set up a church. He didn't set up a hospital. So the purpose of the miracle wasn't to fill every belly or heal every sick person, because that's not what it did. That's not what miracles did. What miracles did, John 3:2, was let everybody know who were objective, right? Some of the Pharisees said Jesus was not operating under the Lord's authority, that he was operating under the devil's authority. They were not objective. But the purpose of a miracle was to let every objective set of eyeballs who saw Jesus in action, know is the word that Nicodemus uses, know that Jesus is God's Son. That was the purpose of a miracle, correct? Patrick, I saw your hand earlier. Yes, sir. Miracles are used to establish authority. Excellent, right? Excellent. Absolutely. The purpose of the miracle was to announce, hey, this guy's from God. Because no one can do what he's doing except God be with him. Here are a few things to think about. Kind of catch up, make up here. Here are a few things for us to think about regarding miracles. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, Jesus says, tell no one. That seems kind of odd, doesn't it? That Jesus would say, don't tell anyone about this miracle that I've just done. If the purpose of a miracle was to let people know that Jesus is God's Son, then why would Jesus say, don't tell that message? Why do you think Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, tell no one? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Jesus wanted the organic spread of his message, of his gospel. Jesus, though he was the Son of God, had to play by some rules that were in motion here on earth, right? There are some logistical concerns that the Son of God had. That sounds very mundane, but it's true. Mark chapter 1, verse 45 tells us what about Jesus coming and going? Jesus was so thronged. When people heard that he could do miracles, Jesus was so thronged that the whole operation shut down. And on one occasion, they had to cut a hole in the roof and let somebody down to Jesus because that's the only way you could get to Jesus, right? Does that kind of situation help the spread of the gospel, or does that kind of situation hurt the spread of the gospel? You tell me. People just running over each other to see Jesus, does that help the spread of the gospel, or does that hurt the spread of the gospel? In a crowd so chaotic as that, can the gospel cut through that? Well, logistically, there were some issues. Jesus couldn't go and teach because he couldn't go because people were deep trying to see him, right? And the Bible says, this is Mark chapter 1, verse 45, he could no longer enter. Well, if he could no longer enter, that is a hindrance to his mission. What was Jesus' mission? Luke 19, 10, Jesus says, I am come to do miracles and nothing else. Jesus says, I am come to seek and to save the lost. And the miracles were to be an assistance to that mission of seeking and saving the lost. If the miracles outpace the mission of seeking and saving the lost, then the miracles were no longer a help. The miracles were a hindrance, right? So that's why Matthew chapter 8, Jesus would say, don't tell anybody, because the time has not come yet, right? Because there are some things we've got to keep a certain way for this ministry to work the way God intended it to work. Acts chapter 8 is an incredible passage here. It talks to us about two people, Simon and Philip. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, that the people saw Simon doing magic, and what was their reaction? They were amazed. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. They saw Simon practicing the sorcery in the city. They were astonished. They were amazed. But when Philip comes, and Philip can do real miracles, right? Not just magic tricks, but real miracles. Again, going back to the top of our class, there's a difference between a real miracle and something that you can't explain. There's a difference between a real miracle and something that is really, 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 really cool. And the difference was crystal clear in Acts chapter 8. Simon was doing the stuff that's really, 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 really cool. Simon was doing the stuff that you can't explain. Philip comes, and what is Philip doing? Philip's doing miracles. So it's interesting to me, Acts chapter 8, the people see Simon, and what's their reaction to Simon? They were amazed. The people see Philip, and what's their reaction to Philip? They obeyed. They obeyed, right? There's a difference between being amazed at what Simon's doing and saying, whoa, let me tell you, we got to do what Philip says. We have to obey him, because clearly what he's doing isn't a league all of its own, right? Acts chapter 8, verse 12, they heard Philip. They saw the miracles that he did. They heard the message that accompanied those miracles. And they believed, and they were baptized. That's obedience. When they saw Simon, they were amazed. They were impressed. when they saw Philip, they knew this is a different league here, and they obeyed. The words bewitched or amazed in Acts chapter 8, verses 9, 10, and 11, ex istemi is the word. And the people were this towards Philip, but I want you to notice Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Simon was this towards Philip. The people were amazed at what Philip was doing. I beg your pardon. I'm getting the names mixed up. Here is it correctly stated. The people were amazed at what Simon was doing, but Simon was amazed at what Philip was doing. Right? You see that? The people were amazed at what Simon was doing. But Simon himself, he was amazed at what Philip was doing, which goes on to support what we're saying, that there's no comparison between a miracle and something that's cool, something that's amazing, something that is neat, something that is incredible. The two are, you know, side by side compared in Acts chapter 8. And the real miracles won the day, right? Simon was so impressed by the miracles that Philip did. Later on in the chapter, when he sees Peter, he approaches Peter with what request? What does Simon ask Peter? Acts chapter 8. Yeah, give me this power, right? So he knows, Simon the magician knows, I'm just a magician compared to these guys. These guys are doing the real stuff. Right? Let's talk about speaking in tongues quickly. Here is what is speaking in tongues? Well, it falls under the umbrella of a miracle. And when practiced in modern churches today, what does speaking in tongues look like? What does it sound like? Gibberish. That's a good word to apply to it. Gibberish. A lot of people said at the same time. Well, just like we did with miracles, we're going to go to the Bible and let it tell us what speaking in tongues is. Remember we did that with a miracle? What is a miracle? What's a real biblical example of what a miracle is? What's a real biblical example of what speaking in tongues is? Here it is, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 and 6. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me stop here and ask you this question. Who were filled with the Holy Ghost? The apostles. Right answer. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in another what? Tongue. As the Spirit gave them utterance. That's right. And then verse 6, the multitude who heard them speaking in these tongues, they said, we hear every man speak in our own what? Language or tongue, right? Two different words in Greek and English, but they're synonyms. So the apostles are speaking in tongues, the Bible calls it, and the people are hearing what? Their own language. The apostles are speaking in tongues, and the people are hearing languages. The apostles are speaking in tongues, the people are hearing languages. What is speaking in tongues? Well, it's speaking in these languages, right? It's speaking in these languages. And the need for it is obvious, especially Acts chapter 2, where people were assembled from all over the world. There was no one common language. So the preachers preached, and the people heard in their language. They were speaking in tongues, and the people were hearing languages. But let's real quickly talk about how it happens in churches today. Ken brought this verse up before a class started. Here, there's some rules about speaking in tongues that the Bible gives. Let's go over these rules and see if this is the way it's done in the situations that you know about. Here's the Apostle Paul, right? Acts 14, verses 27, 28. Somebody want to read this? I don't want to do all the talking. Somebody want to read Acts 14, 27, 28? So that's 1 Corinthians 14, 27, 28, where Paul says, if you want to speak in tongues at church, two or three, at most three, each one speaking at an orderly turn. Stop right here. Is that the way you see it done on TV? Yes or no? Is that the way you know, right? No. No. And there is a need for and what? An interpreter. And if there's no interpreter, what's Paul's instructions to the church? Don't speak in tongues. Right? Because your tongue speaking isn't doing anything. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. In other words, God has given you these miraculous gifts and you can, too, control them. People today say, I just can't control the spirit. That's why I flop in the aisle. That's why I run up and down. That's why I speak in tongues uncontrollably. I just can't control it. 1 Corinthians 14, 32 says, yes, you can control it. You know this verse, God is not the author of what? Confusion. This verse is the very next verse in that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this verse, God is not the author of confusion, is on the subject of speaking in tongues. How about that? It's not just a verse that says, you know, do things orderly. It's a verse that says do things orderly, and do things orderly is given as an instruction because of their misuse, their mishandling of this tongue speaking. Well, Sam, go ahead and you can have the last word. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These speaking in tongues were languages, right? Languages to help spread the message, not a distraction from the message. Speaking in tongues was never intended to be a distraction from the message, but an aid for the message. Well, thank y'all. We can start next week's class talking more about this if y'all would like. I appreciate your input.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.